Welcome to Ignite Your Light, a podcast to help you navigate life's adversity, follow your curiosity, and stay true to yourself. Life can feel pretty confusing for everyone. I've harnessed my network of empowering individuals to help inspire you to create a life that feels authentic and on purpose. I interview healers, creatives, entrepreneurs, and girl bosses who are living their truth and inspiring others to do so too. I'm your host, Riley Webster, and I'm so happy that you're here with me today. I am so excited to share this conversation I had with Natalie Rousseau, who is a yoga teacher who really has a strong connection to lunar rhythms and rituals. And in today's chat, we're learning all about how we too can sync with the moon and recognize the different energetic shifts that come up within the different phases, within the different ebbs and flows, cycles and seasons we go through during the year and during each lunar rhythm. So this chat is hopefully going to inspire you to pay closer attention to the moon and how it can affect all aspects of your life, your self-care practice, maybe if you have a yoga practice, how you can use the wisdom from the moon to sink into that a little bit deeper. We also chat a little bit about how to blend all of these different tools and practices into our daily life. It can be a little overwhelming with thinking of all the amazing things that we can incorporate into our life, such as tarot, astrology, lunar rhythms and rituals, yoga, self-care, Ayurveda. There's so much to it, it seems, that it can feel like, where do we begin? So we talk about that as well. So without further ado, here is Natalie Rousseau, and I'm sure you're going to love this as much as I did. Okay, so thank you so much for being on the Ignite Your Light podcast, Natalie. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. So I'd first love if you could tell me a bit about your career as a yoga teacher and how you became interested in diving deeper into astrology through it.
Yeah, well, I should start off by saying that I'm not an astrology expert, but I actually was interested in astrology way before I ever had any idea what yoga was at all. I always say I was like a teenage witch. I was so interested in anything witchy, very, very interested in astrology and anything to do with the esoteric all through my teenage years. And yoga came later. I actually didn't discover yoga until I was in my early 20s. I was already a mom at that point, a new mom. And I really I was taken to my first yoga class not really knowing what yoga was about, and discovered that it was, very immediately fell in love with it because I just found that it was such a great way to, in many ways, get a sense of spaciousness, a sense of distance from some of the internal drama that can go on in our minds, especially when you're a young mom and don't really have the tools yet to work with some of those emotions and mental states. And yoga gave me that while also giving me this incredible somatic practice, something that really allowed me to get into my body. And so I began studying yoga and eventually teaching yoga, but all along I was still continuing my interest in the esoteric and in traditional systems of healing. And so eventually they started weaving together again.
Amazing. So how do you incorporate, because you have a lot of content that you put out about lunar rituals, and you write a lot of blogs and newsletters about rituals we can do around the cycles of the moon and the seasons. So how do you incorporate that lunar practice with your yoga practice?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I should say that part of my story with, really observing the moon and working with the moon comes from a time earlier in my life before, again, I had ever discovered yoga, before I was a young mom, when I lived off grid for a couple years. And when I say off grid, I mean no electricity, no running water, definitely no cell phones, no television, no computer. And, we, the home that we lived in was just powered by gas lanterns and fire. And so I got to spend a lot of time in silence and in nature and became very, very aware of the way the different phases of the moon would affect my energetic body and also the cycles of the seasons. And so living in rural areas for most of my life, that's just something I've continued to pay attention to. And then as yoga became something that I was passionate about as a student and as a teacher, again, they just sort of wove themselves together in my teaching. And it was very natural for me to adjust my own yoga practice. But one of the ways that we can look at sort of yoking the two together is simply looking at the way the moon goes through its cycles each month. And so the moon cycle is going through phases of building, which we call waxing, and then of releasing, which we call waning. And so that gives you a really nice template for your personal practice if you choose to align it with the moon rhythms, meaning that you have up to 2 weeks of each month where you can be building your personal practice. So that would mean perhaps working with stronger poses, working at your, what I call like your evolving edge, just at that, you know, that realm of what you can do and what you're continuing to develop in your practice. So digging in a little bit more. And then once you get past the time of the full moon and you enter the waning phase, then you can start to shift your personal practice so that it becomes perhaps a little more static, a little more slow, a little more introspective. You could be working on greater levels of refinement or inner body work, weaving in more time for meditation. And so in that way, you can really use the moon cycle as a way of going through a full spectrum of practice in your own personal sadhana at home.
I love that. Yeah, I find the moon cycles are such a reminder that we're not meant to be the same, the exact same every day, you know? And I think a lot of us can get frustrated with, you know, we go through periods of feeling very motivated or creatively inspired or really driven. And then we find ourselves getting frustrated when we are uninspired or, you know, just seeking more quiet or solitude. And the lunar rhythms are a really beautiful reminder that we are always evolving and going through phases and shifting. And I think it's amazing if we can reflect that into our practice, whether that's yoga or self-care.
Yeah, and that's just such an important point, is that I think that we can, if we haven't investigated it for ourselves, I think many of us take on this sort of assumption that once we create something, whether it's a certain level of maybe physical wellness or fitness or a certain level of proficiency in our practices, or as you said, a certain level of creative output, that we'll just be able to maintain that, that it will remain the same, that it will be static. And that's what I love about the reflection of nature's rhythms, the lunar rhythms, the way that they remind us that everything is always ebbing and flowing. And so when we do find ourselves in those actually very natural periods that are more of the ebb period, sort of a fallow period with our creativity or with our motivation or our energy, we don't get too worried about it because we can then remember, we know on a real visceral level that it's going to go into a waxing phase again. It is going to build again. And so then we can explore each of the phases of those cycles that we have with creativity, physical energy, motivation, and we can start to see what each phase of the cycle has to offer us, because there's a lot to be had in those more quiet times, and even the times where the inspiration isn't necessarily flowing at the surface. It just requires a different kind of listening.
Yeah, totally. I love that. And you also speak a lot about tarot supporting your practice. So how does that relate?
Tarot is just something that I really enjoy. Again, something that I actually picked up when I was a teenager. I don't even really remember how I got my first tarot deck, but at one point I had a Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck, which is sort of a classic deck that is very easy to come by and still one of my favorites. And I just started playing with it, and I certainly had never had a tarot reading, and I didn't have any teachers. I just played with the symbols, the cards, and would do readings on my friends, and but mainly doing readings for myself and in my journal. And so the it has continued like that. Tarot is a very personal practice for me. I don't do readings for other people, but I use it as a way of self-reflection. And so I have a lot of different tarot decks now. They're so much fun, and there's so many beautiful decks out there these days. You can become a bit of a collector, but in truth, I still work with like three basic decks that I love, and I'll cycle through them at different times of the year, whichever I'm drawn to. And in general, on a very basic level, my kind of foundational practice will be to pull a card at the new moon, pull a card at the full moon, because those are times when I check in with myself. And when I say that, I mean that I have a long, long practice of journal writing. And so those are just periods where I like to check in and do a little reflection. It's just a way of sort of marking time. It's a way that I keep my own time throughout the cycles of the year. And so I will use tarot in different ways. Sometimes I'm just sitting after doing practice, after meditation, and sort of sitting with whatever the energetic quality of that moment is while shuffling the deck, and not even having a specific question in mind, but just shuffling through. And then I will just pull out a card and see what it has to say. And that usually turns into a bit of a journaling process for me. And it's in the gazing at the card and then the journaling after that some of the meaning is often revealed. And I think that's one of my favorite things to share about tarot with people, is that it really is a relationship and it takes time to develop, and the cards do not reveal their meaning immediately. You really have to spend time with the cards, and that's a nice way to do it if you create just a very simple ritual that at least on 2 days of every month, on the full and on the new moon, say you're going to sit down with your tarot deck and see what it has to say to you.
I love that. That's so beautiful. So what are some ways that we can deepen our connection with the moon?
Yeah, I mean, the first is just to pay attention to it. So I think that the first and most basic thing you can do is track the phases of the moon. And that's not always possible just from watching the moon in the night sky, because sometimes it's going to be obscured. But these days, there's so many great apps that you can get on your phone that will let you know exactly what the moon is doing at any time, even if you can't see it in the night sky. And that's a good place to start. There are, if someone is not so much interested in using an app, there are so many great moon calendars and like date books that have tracked the moon. So that's a really good place to start. But I tell most people to start by looking at the moon regularly. So whenever you are out, just look and see what you see, and then have some form of tracking it and just paying attention. And for myself, I think because I've always had a long standing practice of journaling, and I will write out my journal entries always as the date and what the moon phase is at. So it's just something I've been doing since I was a teenager. And so that helps me to identify patterns. So I'll just notice the way that different moon phases have affected me over a longer period of time, or the way that the moon might affect me when it's transiting through a specific sign. Because not only does the moon go through its cycles of growing and releasing, but it also transits through each of the astrological signs, basically every 2, 2.5 days. And each of those signs can change the quality of the energy, the way that the moon affects you at any time. So paying attention to those things is really the first place to start.
So there's the yin and yang. So you have your moon sign, correct? And then your sun sign.
Yeah.
And yeah. What is the relationship between those, and is it normal to not resonate with your sign?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And first of all, again, I'll just say I'm not a astrologer, meaning I'm someone who's fascinated by astrology and has been studying it as a hobbyist for a long time. But there are many different approaches and schools of astrology, so everyone would answer it a bit differently. But on the most basic level, your sun sign is generally considered like your outer persona in many ways, that which is presented to the world. This is one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. Whereas your moon sign is more your inner, the self that you keep to yourself, or that only those who are most intimate with you would know. It also can include the shadow aspects of yourself. So those parts of yourself that even you might not be so aware of. It often includes our more emotional or intuitive side, whereas our sun sign presents a little bit more like what we're here to do in the outer world. Does that make sense? It's one way of yeah.
Yeah.
And so does that feel more resonant for you? Do you know what your moon sign is?
Yeah, my moon sign is
Uh-huh.
Taurus and my sun sign is Virgo, so I'm
Oh,
all
wow.
earth. And yeah, Virgo is very like when I read the description, it just doesn't sound like me. It's like organized and and like a bit uptight, and it's just not me at all, which is very
Well, I
interesting.
think one thing that we have to remember about astrology is that you are so much more than just your sun sign. And that's where it can often, I think a lot of people get turned off of astrology because the descriptions are too simplistic when we're looking at just the sun sign. Whereas
Yes.
when you get an astrologer to do your entire chart based on the moment, the time that you were born, then you get a better idea of the complexity of your character, which is so much more nuanced than just certain traits that your sun sign has. So that's really the best way to get a better idea of it. And you'll see that certain astrologers, that's why they won't write those little like the monthly astrology column because they know that it's too generalized. And then you have certain astrologers like Chaney or Shani Nicholas, I'm not sure how she pronounces her name exactly, who will say when you're reading her column that you want to read your sun sign but also your rising sign. She believes the rising sign is a really important one to read. So again, different takes for those things, but I definitely feel like we are only getting one small sense of what astrology has to offer if all we know is our sun sign. So it is a really fun thing to work with a skilled astrologer and get an actual thorough reading, and then because then you can kind of see where those aspects that are Virgo, like when I think of the sign of Virgo, I think of someone always who is often very interested in wellness, and there's almost a sacred quality to that, this reverence for the body, and the body of course meaning all that the body is, with including of course the mind and the spirit. And that other interpretation of Virgo as just being sort of organized or anal or uptight is really just a very limited projection of what the possibility of that sign.
For sure. So, I also have a question. I've studied Ayurveda and I am trying to link all of these things together. So, there's the yoga practice, I have my Ayurvedic practice and self-care rituals. And then there's the astrology portion as well, and tarot and all of these amazing tools. But how do people, like, how do you kind of hone in on how do you link those together? Because they all have a value and they're all so rich and beautiful practices.
Well, this is such a good question. And honestly, I don't see them all as separate, as disparate. They all can be woven together very beautifully. And if we were even to, again, like if we take this question and we frame it in the context of self-care, personal practice rituals, right? Which I often just call it your sadhana, your collection of personal practices that you do. Again, if we took inspiration from the moon or the seasons of the year, which are always changing, then it gives us, even in just one month, one lunar cycle, a lot of opportunity to put a little bit more preference on certain practices at certain times, rather than thinking we have to do all the things all the time, like every day, right? If we woke up every morning, we thought, oh my gosh, I have to do my yoga asana practice and meditation and pranayama and mantra and then all my Ayurvedic self-care practices. No, I wanted to have a little bit of time to see what the moon is doing and do a little tarot and a little morning pages. It can get a bit ridiculous unless that's your full-time job. So often I'm pulling practices for, if you think of, we each have this sort of basket full of practices that we have been drawn to. You pull different practices from the basket at different times of the lunar month. And so, for example, I'm often going to be doing practices that are a little bit more extroverted and engaged, maybe a little bit more physically focused during a waxing phase of the lunar cycle. And I am going to be drawn to practices that are more introspective and reflective during the waning phase of the moon cycle. And that's just one way that I've found my practice is different every day. And it over the entire month is a beautiful reflection of all the different modalities that I've found to be useful.
Yeah, no, that's a really beautiful way to put it. And I feel that the lunar cycle is kind of acts as the framework for the rest of the practices.
It absolutely can. And I feel like it's worth speaking to the fact that the lunar cycle is, it can be subtle, and not everyone is going to feel the effect of the waxing and waning of the moon as an obvious pull. It's not as strong as, example, our solar cycle. We all are affected by the changes of the seasons, but we're not always as automatically affected by the moon. It takes a little bit more time to tune into it. And even still, it's not necessarily going to be a big dramatic thing for some people. So it creates a beautiful framework, but I think if people get caught in the idea that they should be feeling a certain something, and their own energy doesn't match up with it, that maybe they're doing something wrong, or which is often where we tend to go in our minds, or that it doesn't work for them. And that's not true. It's just, again, it takes a little bit more tuning in. But the other thing I'd like to say, I think it's worth speaking to the fact that for all menstruating women, they have, again, their own sort of internalized moon cycle. And that one is often going to trump the lunar cycle of like the moon in the sky, just because it has such a strong physiological rhythm to it. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, and usually the menstrual cycle is linked to the phases of the moon, whether you get it on a full moon or a new moon. Normally it is linked, correct?
They're similar, right? And that often they run a similar amount of time. So there's so much about the two that are so beautifully linked together, but not every menstruating woman is going to be aligned with the cycles of the moon at all. There's various different reasons why that might not be. And one of them can be just lots of exposure to electric light, hormonal birth controls, all types of things. So though they are linked and related, that doesn't mean that every woman will experience them as linked together. For example, I think there's often the idea that a healthy menstrual cycle is one in which the woman is always menstruating on the new moon and ovulating at the full moon. And that would mean that those cycles of creativity and release are perfectly in sync with what the moon is doing. But that's just not true of all women, all menstruating women. Even if they are, you know, moon bathing at the time of the full moon and doing all those things. And I think that's something where a lot of women, again, create a kind of judgment around what they might be doing wrong. So sometimes it lines up beautifully, but throughout the cycle of a year, it will often fluctuate, just like our menstrual cycle can fluctuate. For some women, it may be a shorter cycle. For some women, it's longer. And for all women who are menstruating, it will often fluctuate by a day or two at different times of the year. So it also is always changing. But I think in terms of personal practice, yoga practice, self-care, wellness, I think that is a really important rhythm and cycle to tune into. And that's something I always encourage menstruating women to also track, just in the same way that you track the moon. It's so important and so valuable, I think, to be tracking your own menstrual cycle. It gives you so much insight. And then that can be used as a template for how you're organizing your practices in the same way that as the moon cycle, in that from the time after menses begins and through to the time of ovulation, that's more a period of waxing or building. So that's usually when you can be a bit stronger in your practice. And once you passed ovulation and are moving towards menses, that's often a time where it's a good idea to engage in practices at a higher level of refinement and start to be mindful of how we use our energy and not overextend ourselves, so that when we come into the menstrual phase, we can do so with as little strain or aggravation as possible. And so that is often how I would be organizing my personal practice of something physical like yoga asana, for example.
Right. And even in life in general, you know, like we can schedule in our social time during those phases of the building, and then more quiet time or solitude or nature in the more introspective part of our own cycle and then the lunar cycle as well.
Yes, exactly. Ideally, right? I was sometimes
Yeah,
I,
in a
you know, we
perfect
book
world.
things in advance. I'm like, oh, that's so
I
the
know,
wrong time.
I
I so
know.
don't want to be out of the house,
And then I
right?
regret it.
And that's just the way it is. But that's exactly right. That if we are tracking it and we're just looking at, you know, a couple weeks ahead, a week ahead, we can always make choices based on how we want to use our energy and so that we can use it wisely. And again, just not get into that place where we're depleted, because I think many people feel really depleted these days, you know, men and women. And that's just another area where, you know, for menstruating women, another area we can look at learning how to regulate our energy and get it into the best possible rhythm so that we can really tap into those times in the cycle when we do feel creative and inspired and extroverted and social, and then know when it's okay to pull back and allow ourselves to rest and be quiet, and keep things to ourselves for a period of time.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful reminder. I'll ask you one final question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, what is your tip for people to ignite their light? So in this case, coming into their full expression of feeling connected with the moon.
I mean, honestly, I just think the moon cycle is a beautiful metaphor for any cycle of creative energy. And again, the if someone is more drawn to looking at the solar year, the flow of the seasons, that's another metaphor that one could use. But I think for myself, it's been really key. Just, you know, something that you and I have already mentioned a number of times here, just this recognition that everything moves in cycles and rhythms. And so, learning how to looking at what the moon is doing and paying attention to it can be a doorway into, hopefully, for folks, noticing the way their own personal energy ebbs and flows. And so if it's used in that way, that we're not trying to make ourselves match anything outside of ourselves, but more just using the lunar cycle as a way of getting curious about how our energy ebbs and flows throughout time, then we start to know ourselves in a different way. And all of us have periods of time where we are at our creative best. And those will go through their peaks and valleys, often in shorter cycles, like throughout the month. And we have times often throughout the year where our energy is stronger in different areas, and in particular in regards to creative energy. And so I think that that's one of, if I was going to give just sort of one teaching, it would be just that, just to start to tune into your own rhythms and cycles, and definitely using either the lunar or the solar rhythms as a doorway into that, so that you can start to trust your own cycles of creativity, so that you can know when is the time to start something new or bring something into being. And that when you do enter into those periods in your own life where things are quiet and are happening below the surface, you don't get scared. You don't worry that, you know, perhaps all your great ideas have dried up or that you'll never do anything creative again. But instead, you'll know that that's just like the winter time or the time of the dark moon. And you'll allow yourself to sink down into it, knowing that something deeper is going to rise to the surface eventually. And I think when we can begin to do that, it just takes so much of the anxiety away from the creative
Yes,
process,
definitely.
right? We can just
When we
relax
can
into it.
lean in a little. Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much, Natalie. This was such an inspiring conversation, and I feel like a lot of people are going to find it really valuable. So I really appreciate you joining this conversation today.
My pleasure. It was nice to chat with you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this conversation, I'd encourage you to share it with a friend who needs a little extra light in their life, or go ahead and rate or review on iTunes. That would be amazing. I've linked below in the show notes how you can find Natalie, as well as a link to her course that is being offered on March 20th, which is called 13 Moons. And it leads women through an entire year of moon wisdom based on astrology, her own experience and teachings. And it sounds absolutely amazing. I think I will be signing up. So you can find all of that below. Otherwise, we will connect next week for another conversation. And on Thursday, I'll be releasing a guided meditation for you. So I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and we will chat soon.